You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hi, and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Paul Hagan with Matthew Leach. We talked to Brittany Giroli, the Orioles beat writer for MLB.com. In a minute, Matthew, the Orioles are a team that probably a lot of people didn't really believe would be have such a big lead at this point of the season. A lot of people keep predicting that they're going to fall off, but they keep right on winning and have a pretty comfortable lead in the AL East right now.
Not only do they keep winning, they keep beating good teams. I was looking at the schedule here, and it's been basically a month since they played even a single game that against a team that's not a contender. I mean, they are winning, and they're winning against teams they might see in October, and I think that's as impressive as anything about this club right now.
Brittany, it was suggested by a national columnist recently that the Orioles are lucky. How do the Orioles feel about that? How do you feel about that?
Well, something that they heard is in 2012 all year, they had a negative run differential that year. They were kind of a team of no names, and there was really no reason why they were winning or why they were good. And I think in 2014, kicking a team that was built to be much better than that team from 2 years ago, their lineup is good, the pitching is incredible. You can make a case that their bullpen is one of the best bullpens certainly in baseball right now, especially with the addition of Andrew Miller. So I don't know where the lucky thing comes from. I just think that no matter what, in the division that they're in, if the Yankees and Red Sox aren't winning, it's always going to be deemed by the national media as some kind of upset.
Yeah, you mentioned today online that since the All-Star break through Sunday, the Orioles have a 2.81 staff ERA. That's not lucky, and that's good pitching, and that's how you win.
Exactly, and they've been very good in one-run games. And what they did with the Cardinals this weekend, I mean, that's not lucky. They went out those first two games and just absolutely handed it to a St. Louis team that's really not used to getting their butt kicked, certainly not two games in a row. And Cardinals manager Mike Matheny said, you know, it's not often we say it was just one of those days, two games in a row. The Orioles just absolutely went out and thrashed them. Yesterday, of course, couldn't come through with a series sweep, but they've won seven consecutive series. They've only lost one series in the second half, which was against Oakland. Matthew mentioned this, but they're in the middle of a stretch where 32 straight games of teams that are over 500, and depending on what happens here in the next week or two, that could be an even longer stretch with some of the clubs that they have on the horizon. So they are beating good teams. I don't see how luck is involved. Obviously, there's a certain amount of luck with the ball bouncing a certain way and things like that, but you don't get to have this kind of a lead in the American League East because you're a lucky team. You get it because you're a good, consistent team. They haven't lost back-to-back games since late June, and that consistency is why they're up the division.
One of the things that's obviously going right for them is rotation, and something that really jumps out to me is Chris Tillman. And if, you know, from early May to early July, he had a two-month stretch where he walked more guys than he struck out. And that's not only not a good way to win, it tends to be a real negative indicator going forward. Over the last month or so, it's been totally different. His results have been better. His peripherals have been better. What's the difference between Tillman in May and June and Tillman since about the beginning of July?
Well, not much, Matthew. They think the consistency of having him on that five-man rotation. Earlier in the year, they had a six-man for a while. Buck tried to juggle a bunch of different guys playing matchups. And while some guys benefit from the extra rest and things like that, Chris Tillman is one of those guys who doesn't. He does very well on a set schedule, and that's what he's been on lately, and that's why I think he's been able to really get into a groove, get into a routine. He's very much a creature of habit. That's something he's cultivated over the last couple of years as he's really kind of found himself here. He was a guy who notoriously was not consistent, and then he really sort of came to be at the end of 2012. The second half down the stretch was great for them. So I think for him, the key is just staying on that same routine, and the Orioles are really going to try hard to keep him on that regular schedule, whether or not they have off days. They're still going to maybe mess around with some of the other guys in that rotation, but for Chris Tillman, this is what works, and this is what they're going to stick with.
And that kind of sets up the next question. It's clear to me that, and it's clear to anybody, that he is kind of the one guy there. And then beyond that, it seems like there's a lot of good options and not a lot of clarity on how it all kind of goes together. I mean, Gonzalez gets sent down. They're still trying to figure out what exactly Jimenez is. What's kind of the end game for this rotation? Where do they want to get to? Do they know what they're trying to have that rotation look like from among the options they have in-house?
They don't. And quite honestly, in my opinion, it's probably their Achilles heel. If they do get to the postseason, they don't match up rotation-wise with some of the other clubs who you're looking at who could be there with them, Detroit and Oakland and some of these really strong starting rotations. Even St. Louis, you look at their top three, and the Orioles just don't match up with a lot of those clubs, which is why they went out and they upgraded their bullpen. They feel like if they can get 5 or 6 innings from their starters, that they have a chance to win that game because they have Andrew Miller, Darren O'Day, and Zach Britton down there. So in terms of who they want to step up, they don't know. They're just looking for these guys to get them through the first two-thirds of the game and take it from there. It'll be interesting to see if they do make the postseason who gets the ball and who they rely on. I think a lot of it's going to depend on who has the hot hand because there really is no number one or two or three on the staff. They're really pretty equal. So you're looking at a group where it's anyone's for the taking. And while you can see that as a positive thing because it certainly fosters competition down the stretch, it's also, in my opinion, a negative thing because you don't have that one ace, that one guy who you can put on the mound, David Price, or a guy who you say, this is our stopper, this is the guy we pitch in our with our season on the line. So it'll be interesting to see how far the Orioles can go this year on a rotation, basically, of threes and fours.
And, of course, Brittany, another part of winning a baseball game is scoring runs. Chris Davis has not been the home run hitter all year that he was last year, and Nelson Cruz has been in a horrible slump lately. But Chris Davis has 3 home runs in the last week or so, and Nelson Cruz looks like he might be coming out of it the last couple games. Are these just is this too small a sample to say, or do you think these guys might be finally turning it around?
I think it's a little too small of a sample size, particularly with Davis, Paul, because we've seen this before. He hit 3 home runs in a game in Pittsburgh, and you thought maybe that was it. Or he's had stretches before where people say, well, this must be it. Here comes the real Chris Davis. And, you know, Nelson Cruz obviously has such a strong first half. The guy's already got 30 home runs. But even if he does fall off from here, he's provided such a lift in winning them probably 4 or 5 games single-handedly that it's not as big of a deal. Chris Davis, however, has a chance to impact his pennant race significantly. I talked about how the starting pitching really isn't their forte. Well, if they get Chris Davis going, the way this lineup is swinging the bat overall as a team, it would be just scary good. And you mentioned he's coming off a good week. He does hit very well in Toronto, which is where they just were. Fortunately for them, they end the season at the Rogers Center one more time. But I think you got to give Davis another week or two before you can really say that he's going to get it going. He's going to get the chance to get it going because this is a much better team with Chris Davis swinging the bat. So he's getting every opportunity to get out of that slump. But so far, it's just been really a miserable year offensively for Chris Davis.
Is there any consciousness at all of the standings when they make those kinds of decisions? I mean, obviously, they're not going to cut bait on Chris Davis in August. I understand that. But is there any degree to which the fact that they've got a little bit of a cushion allows them a little extra patience there?
It does. It certainly does. When you look at the fact that they need to win every game, certainly, but they have a little bit of a cushion, as you mentioned. They're winning games right now with Chris Davis not swinging the bat well. So it's not like he's costing them games, which is why he's going to continue to be out there. He's also a very good defensively at first base. So it's not like he has no value at all to the club. There's also the potential at any moment for him to break out and hit 3 home runs like he did that night in Pittsburgh. That threat is always there, and I think it's always in the opposition's mind as well, which is why he's going to keep getting run out there. But I asked Buck yesterday about whether it's a hard mindset to maintain, because they're not up 1 game or 2 games. They're up a significant amount of games, so is it hard for the team to kind of say every game is must-win? And Buck said it's not. They don't really do a whole lot of scoreboard watching. He said they do scoreboard glancing, and they just assume that everybody underneath them is going to win their game that day, and that they have a chance, no matter what happens, to continue to add to their lead. So moving forward, I don't have a doubt that they're in the right mindset with this kind of a lead. As long as they can kind of maintain that focus, I think this club will be okay, even with Chris Davis in the everyday lineup.
Brittany, if Chris Davis can't turn around, if it ends up being just one of those years for him, and if Nelson Cruz doesn't bounce back to where he was earlier in the year, is there another batter in this lineup that can carry this team for a while?
Caleb Joseph? You know, Adam Jones is having a career year. It's very quiet because last year he had a career year, but his numbers are right there again this season. You can make the case that he should get some AL MVP votes because of how important he is to this club, especially without Matt Leiders. And that's Caleb Joseph, kind of jokingly, but a 28-year-old rookie, he's a great story. He's hit home runs in his last five games. And it's interesting because in the minor leagues, he was seen as a guy with a potentially a big league bat, but no position. When he came up here because of the Matt Leiders injury, defensively he was great, but he really couldn't hit a lick for the first few months. And now it seems like he's clicking as well, which is really big for them. J.J. Hardy, I know the power's been missing, but he had a two home run game the other day. He might not play for the next few days. He sprained his left thumb, so that's something to keep an eye on. Like I said, at any point in time, it can break out. It may feel like he could. But this offense right now, top to bottom, has been swinging about well over the last week or so. So they feel like even without Chris Davis, they can score a lot of runs.
Brittany Giroli, beat reporter for those first-place Baltimore Orioles. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us here on MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, along with Paul Hagan. Thanks for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.